remember back nearly 30 years ago, in my early days as a believer, attending Baptist churches, I can remember being embarrassed, mortified actually, that there were Baptists teaching racism and segregation. Now, Dr. Peter S. Ruckman had written a book, Integration versus Segregation, and he concludes in the book that God favors segregation. The teaching is based on the old business of Shem being the father of all yellow people, and hence in charge of all religion. And Ham, he's the daddy of all black people. And black people, well, they are rather the gopher. Go for this, go for that, the step and fetch it, the mechanic. And then Japheth, why, he's the smartest one. He's the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he's the white guy, and he gets to run things. Now that is the kind of preaching and teaching that brought us the Civil War. The famous pamphlet written in 1853 that was entitled The Bible Defense of Slavery teaches Shem, Ham, and Japheth just as I recounted it to you. And so did Dr. Ruckman, and that business was still going on in Baptist churches, and I took the opportunity of writing three of my newspaper columns on that exact subject. It was a series of three declaring how to teach racism from the Bible and why it is wrong to do so. And I wrote my newspaper column for, I guess, about 10 years, and my, it was such an wonderful opportunity to attempt to communicate Bible truth and to separate from the errors of the past, which weren't as far past as I thought they were. They were still going on with Dr. Ruckman and some other Baptist people. When subsequently, and you know, years went by, but subsequently, when I learned the concept of Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division as a King James Bible believer, Mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism puts in place a new creature, one body, members in particular, members one of another. And so there was a sense of joy, relief, knowing that the old days of racism being a dirty little secret hidden behind pulpits, the racism, the segregation of Dr. Ruckman and his kinfolk would be something that I wouldn't have to deal with any longer. That would be gone. What a surprise. Now, obviously, I was late getting to the party because Pastor Richard Jordan had, in addition to having attended a liberal Methodist school, spent some time at Dr. Ruckman's school. And as a Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right divider from Alabama, he embraces the teachings of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, it's called racial prophecy, and I need to make a distinction here. I'm not interested in calling anybody a racist, but racial prophecy contains with it the concept that we are not all a new creature, we are not all one in Christ, we are not all members one of another, and that a prophecy given by a drunken Noah carries forth today and justifies some things which, to my mind, are reprehensible. The fact that this is yet and still being taught by a luminary in the Mid-Acts movement. We're talking here not about some fellow that just got off a watermelon truck. We're talking about Pastor Richard Jordan of the Riches of Grace radio broadcast, of the Shorewood Bible Church, of the Grace Journal. We're talking about the only teacher associated with the three-year course, which is called Grace School of the Bible. I want you to hear with your own ears what is taught by the Grace School of the Bible. When you sign up for it, it'll cost you, well, time and money. But what about your conscience? What about your doctrinal understanding that we don't live in the time of prophecy? We live according to the revelation of the mystery. And we cease to be who we were when we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm tilting things in my favor, am I not, by talking so long? Better, I think, that I get quiet and we go to the classroom and you hear what Pastor Jordan has to say to his students.
It's important to understand that the contributions of Shem, Ham, and Japheth that Noah identifies here are intended to be blended together into a single, organized way of life that would result in the highest possible form of human civilization. As soon as it became unbalanced, that is, as soon as the contribution of one group outweighed that of the others, what has happened in history is that momentarily that civilization has blazed forward only to suddenly plunge into oblivion. What God is doing here is He's telling you, He's giving you some understanding about how the nations are to operate. And He's telling you some things about how the world is made up that the politicians and the pundits and the people that are trying to run the world today, if they understood it, there could be peace and harmony and advancement for the whole planet, the whole civilization. But because men reject the Word of God, think it's stupid that God could tell them anything about what mankind is like, men go on in ignorance, beat their fool head against the wall till they're bloody and battered and senseless. Now what you're going to see here is a divinely appointed division of responsibility to care for the specific needs of mankind at three fundamental levels of need. There are going to be three racial heads. There's Shem, then there's Ham, and there's Japheth. Those three. And God appoints each one of them a specific area of human need to take care of.
Now think about that just for a moment. We are supposed to believe, from Pastor Jordan, that God is separating three races rather than creating one body. We are supposed to buy into God dealing with nations when now, in the dispensation of the grace of God, it's not about nation building, it's about body building. I apologize for interrupting so soon here, but if you buy a faulty premise, you can only come then to a faulty conclusion. And I wanted to give you this bit of a heads up about the premise that you just heard.
What are your needs? Well, there's the spiritual needs that people have. Then there are the physical needs that they have. And then there are intellectual needs.
Now you tell me, which one is going to be intellectual and which one of them is going to be physical? Take a wild guess.
We need to have inner strength. We need to have some skill to take care of things and get the job done. And then you need to have some purpose and some direction for your life. And these three needs are designed to be met by the specific contributions of these three racial groups.
Wow, now you heard it. Supposedly, we've got racial groups. Might I point out to you the word race only appears in the Bible about something that you run? May I point out to you that you cannot clearly identify anybody's color, save perhaps the Lord's in Song of Solomon. And when Simon is of Niger, that doesn't mean he's black. That means what town he's from. So, to jump to some... Well, let's get back to class.
Do you see areas of contribution are made? What you'll find is that Shem is given charge over religion. Ham is given charge over technology. Japheth is given, he's the philosopher in the bunch. He's the thinker in the bunch. He's the guy that comes along and he says that God shall enlarge Jacob. Jacob is the guy. These two guys originate things. This guy expands what these guys originate.
Now, the expansion is done by the black slave. And the origination is done by, imagine thinking that all yellow people, Shem, are in charge of religion. How devilish is that? Since every Asiatic religion is godless, pagan, actually reprehensibly awful. And Shem, Ham, Japheth teaching condones not only slavery, but also winks at Shem's bad religions.
At the expense of these people up here, Shem develops religion. Every world religion comes from that group of people right there.
And they're all wrong.
Ham is the inventor. He's the guy that's going to go out and develop a way to get the job done. He's the inventor. It's technology. But Japheth, he doesn't develop religion, and he doesn't invent very much, contrary to men's opinion. What he does is he goes up here and he takes man's, Shem's religion and Ham's technology, and he carries it, and he expands it. He takes his religion and he develops theology. He takes his technology and he develops science. With it. This guy is never going to develop science. This guy is never going to develop theology. This guy does it. This guy isn't going to do the basic work. He's going to come and expand what they're doing and take these things, mold them together, and press on with.
Now, what did you just hear? You heard limits placed on yellow people, limits placed on white people, limits placed on black people. This fellow is Pauline, mid-Acts, dispensational. And yet, this nut didn't fall very far from the Alabama acorn tree, did he?
Oftentimes, this is done at the expense of them. And when it is, things fall in the can. Now, please understand that the emphasis in this is on the uniqueness of the contribution that is being made in each one of these special forms. The difference of the contribution doesn't equal one of them being more superior than the other.
But don't you dare tell me that a black person can't contribute everything that a white person might or a yellow person might. Mix it up. Don't you dare tell me that one, because of a drunken man's supposed prophecy in Genesis chapters 9 and 10, that because of that, one person has a limit that he can't do what the other person can, when I know with a certainty that we are all new creatures, we are all members one of another, and it's just reprehensible that this goes on. Do you see how easily you can parlay this teaching into where the Ku Klux Klan and the Aryan nations would like to take it? Now, Pastor Jordan, he's not that. And I don't think that Pastor Jordan is particularly a racist. He buys into racial prophecy, however, and that's just terrible. That's just wrong. It's emblematic, it's symptomatic of our not having matured as the grace movement needs.
Doesn't equal one group, one individual, or one function being more important. What God did is He tells you, here are the three basic racial groups, here's how they're going to divide up, and here's what their group's contribution is. Not necessarily a contribution. You can't expect every individual in each group to be there. It's the flow of the group. This guy is in his head. This guy is thinking about getting the work done. This guy is looking, how can I take that and make more out of it? You know, you could solve half the world's problems if you applied that. You know what happened in the United States when they got the Vietnam War? You know what happened in the United States when they got the Korean War? They didn't understand that rascal right there. They're a bunch of dumb Gentiles, and they thought everything worked like they thought it did. Listen, when you mess with sin, you better get all in your head. You've watched movies, and you've listened to that business about taking care of P-37 and all that stuff, and why we got to take that piece of real estate. You've got to take it, and you're going to keep taking it, you're going to keep taking it, because old sin isn't going to quit. You've got to beat sin in his head.
So, obviously, all yellow people are pretty much the same. They all pretty much have the same flow.
You know why the only way to stop World War II is to drop two atomic bombs on Japan and convince them that, hey, there wasn't any possible way. You'd have never beat those boogers by landing troops on the shore. They're still fighting in the last 10 years. Japanese soldiers in the South Pacific over there still fighting.
Jap boogers. This is a pastor. Jap boogers.
Hit out in jungles on some of those uninhabited islands. I mean, you've read about that. You want to fight Shem? You got to get in his head. Japheth doesn't do that very well. The world leaders today, they don't understand that. So you know what they do? They go over and mess with Shem. He just slaps the bitches off of them and Japheth bows up, knocks him down, and Shem gets up, knock him down again, Shem gets up, knock him down again, and after about the 80th time you've knocked him down, you're getting tired of it, and Shem gets up again, you say, man, I'm tired of doing that, and I quit. And Shem says, see, shouldn't have hit me to start with. Well, you see, you can, if you understand that, how you can take the national characteristics of these groups.
National characteristics of these groups. Groups based on races. As I produce this message, it's the 21st century. You wouldn't know. It sounds more like the 17th, does it not?
And understand some things, but of course, who does that? Well, let's look at the specifics. Verse 25. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, the term servant of servants is very important. He's not talking about being the lowest of the low. If I say to you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what am I saying? You're the top king of all the kings. You're the top lord of all the... You're the king par excellence. Nobody can touch you. A servant of servants is, this guy's going to be a servant par excellence. And I remind you that being a servant is not a dishonorable title.
Being an excellent servant. Of course, servant in your Bible is slave. And he said, that's not a bad thing. Really. Mm-hmm. I don't realize. And pay more attention to the needs of my brothers and sisters of different colors.
The way up is down. Ham's descendants are going to render extraordinary service to mankind in the area of mechanical skills and technology, in the area of getting the job done, serving. Now you say, but wait a minute, why does it say cursed be Canaan? Why didn't it say cursed be Ham? Because he's the guy that did the shenanigans back in 21 and 22. Well, there are a lot of reasons that are offered for cursing Canaan instead of Ham. Canaan, of course, is Ham's descendant. It's Ham's son. Ham is the father of Canaan. Some people say, well, what happened in verse 25 is that the text really said, cursed be Ham, the father of Canaan. And somebody just left some words out. Well, we know better than that immediately, so we just pass on to something a little more, makes a little more sense. If you look back at verse number 1, God blessed Noah, and he blessed his sons. Well, if God blessed Ham, Noah couldn't curse him. It wouldn't work. Would it? No. So, he couldn't curse Ham if God had blessed him. But, I'm looking at 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. man cursed Ham, God blessed him. There's another reason that he wouldn't have wanted to curse him to start with. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 55. Notice the principle here. 1 Samuel 17, 55. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. Now, Saul knew who David was. Okay? I mean, back in the early part of the chapter, he'd already had an interview with him. He doesn't ask, who is David? He asks, what? Whose son? Who's that daddy's boy? Who's that boy's daddy? The issue is they take the greatness of the boy and they attribute it to the daddy. Now, that's a standard procedure in the Old Testament.
Now, that's interesting, Nance Dreaming, and he'll continue with it a little bit, but I would point out to you that we seem to have missed the point. Is not the point that the curse upon Canaan is that he would be a servant to his own brethren? His own brethren would, of course, be Shem, Japheth, perhaps even Ham. Not white people, 20 centuries, 30 centuries, not white people, millennia later. How are we going to miss what really matters and strain at gnats about things that don't much?
The greatness of the Son and attributing it to the Father. Well, now think a minute. If Noah had cursed Ham, who would have really been cursing? If you can attribute the greatness of the Son to the Father, then who would you contribute the Son of the Son to? So if he had directly cursed Ham, he'd have really been cursing himself. The only way that he had of really cursing Ham was cursing one of his boys.
Now, the point of all that, of course, was to get around to having all black people be servants. That's where this has to go, you know. And inevitably, it will get there.
Who's the cursing? You're cursing their daddy. Also. Okay? So that would be, the choosing of Canaan was not a mistake. It was done for that kind of a reason. And of course, like I said in verse 20 to 22 there, if that thing about seeing it, the nakedness of his father and uncovering the nakedness of his father, if that is the son of sodomy, then Ham sinned as a son, and thus he would be punished in his sons, Canaan, and so forth. Canaan would represent, of course, all of the sons of Ham. Now, you notice, and by the way, there's a real important reason why I would have put Canaan in there. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And he wrote it before the nation Israel had gone in to the promised land. And who was in the promised land that they were going to have to run out? Who? The Canaanites, right. They were to go in and exterminate the Canaanites from the land. The time when Moses wrote, or shortly after he wrote, the time had come to execute the curse. And so what Moses is doing as he writes here is he's drawing attention to the origin of the occupants of Israel's promised land so that they would know that the time for the curse on Canaan and his posterity to be executed was through them going in and driving them out of the land. In other words, when they went in and were to destroy Canaan out of that land, it had to do with a curse that God had placed on Canaan.
And there's where the Ku Klux Klan gets it. And there's where Aryan Nations gets it. And obviously, Pastor Jordan is not recommending strange fruit, lynch mobs. He's not recommending any such thing as that. Pastor Jordan is much more genteel and sophisticated, but his teaching is exactly the same as the KKK, the lynch mobs, the Aryan Nations, and you can't miss that, people. You need to sort that out. You need to deal with that. That needs to be rooted out of the grace movement. How foreign is all of this to being members one of another, members in particular, a new creature? And how different is this from all of us being one body? Now, you may be the hand and he may be the foot and that one the ear, but we're all one body. How different is what Pastor Jordan is teaching in the grace school of the Bible from Pauline doctrine? And how closely vestigial is it to the hooded, murderous? We're still paying a price in this country for the bad teaching of Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And it's identified for you here in the passage. Now, don't get all bent out of shape about a curse being on Canaan or on Ham's descendants, because there's a curse on you, see? A whole lot of curses in the Bible. Man was cursed, Romans 5:12, very clear about that. Death passed upon all men for the law of sin. Death is a curse. A curse was placed on the woman in Genesis 3:16. It's placed on the ground in Genesis 3:17. There's a curse on the nation Israel today. I mean, you don't have to get all bent out of shape and go boo-hooing and bellyaching about Canaan getting cursed and acting like that's something terrible and outrageous, because the idea of a curse is not anything that's unheard of in the Bible. So, and you've got one on yourself anyway, so don't think that there's some specially evil and devilish thing being done to Canaan here.
Wait a minute. Curse isn't a good thing ever, is it? And how can this gentleman, Pastor Jordan, how can he say what he just said? Was not Christ made a curse for me so that I no longer am under a curse, but now I am a new creature and now I am complete in Christ? But you see, the orientation here is not toward right division and right doctrine. The orientation here is going to be to the elevation of white people, putting yellow people in their spiritual, religious niche. And then, well, you know, black people are mechanics and they're hard workers and they need to be the best servants that they can possibly be.
Put on the spirit, put on the lid. Mammy's going to bake a little shortening bread. That ain't all she's going to do. Mammy's going to make a little coffee too. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
If you could just keep these people in their place, we wouldn't have these problems and ship them back to Africa. And you know as well as do I that that mentality is out there much more than anybody cares to admit. And where they learn it? Well, one place they could learn it is from the Grace School of the Bible and Shorewood Bible Church's pastor, Richard Jordan.
So the first thing you want to know about Canaan, Ham, his descendants, they're going to be servants. And they're going to be servants par excellence. They're going to take care of technology. They're going to take care of getting the job done. They're going to be the inventors, the people that get focus on getting things accomplished, physically, serving, that kind of thing. Verse 26, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be a servant. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Shem's going to take care of religion. The Lord God, religion. Blessed be the Lord God. Have you ever noticed that all the religions of the world come from Shem?
And they're all bad.
Buddhism. Mohammedism.
Is this good?
Christianity. Judaism. And if they don't come from Shem, they're so obviously spurious that you can't miss it. If Japheth develops a religion, it's Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Some stupid, innocuous thing that's obviously screwy.
Maybe like Buddhists worshiping cows? This fellow can't see what he's saying. He's oblivious to it. Maybe that's his southern upbringing. Maybe that's the fact that he attended Dr. Ruckman's school. But Pauline doctrine has clearly not gotten through his thick head when it comes to this issue.
Or it would be the Campbellites, or the Russellites, or the Christian Science. That's this guy doing it. If Ham develops a religion, well, it's voodoo, that kind of stuff. Or it's black Muslims, or it's the Apostolic Pentecostal Rite of Fire Holiness group, or something of that nature. You know? You just look at it and you know it's wrong. You don't know anything about it. You just listen to the time. It's obviously wrong. By the way, Jesus Christ comes from that man right there. Luke chapter 3, verse 36. He comes from that line.
I beg your pardon. That line comes from Christ. Christ is the creator of all things. Without it was not anything made that was made. There wouldn't be Abraham. There wouldn't be the nation. Good night. How awful is this?
I didn't know. That book you're reading came from those people right there. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. See, that's religion. He takes care of that. And then verse 27, God said, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. This guy is going to go out and develop things. He's a developer.
That's the white
He's
guy.
He's going to enlarge things. He's going to take what's there and expand it.
That's the white
guy. The power of expansion is given to Japheth, and he's the guy who's going to take what's there and develop it. He'll take what these guys do in basic form and expand it out.
Those
and make
lesser
it
lights, you know,
usable
Shem and Ham.
For everybody else.
Japheth will perfect so, what the mechanic.
Now, this guy doesn't do too much inventing. Most people think these people are the greatest inventors ever were. They just aren't. What they did is they took the basic raw things there and they go out with it.
He's talking about yellow people now.
Now, you got a thing
yellow
going on today, you know, they call it
anything.
Black history. And they talk about, well, because the Japhethites, and these are the Indo-Europeans, they've ignored the African, the black man in here, and they haven't given him the credit due, so now you're beginning to find out that, you know, they say Eli Whitney didn't invent the cotton gin, one of his black slaves did, and this thing and that thing, and you know, you look at that and you think, and again, you can take a good thing and carry it too far, you know, to do that. But what happens is, you begin to find out that these people down here, what they did was they didn't invent the raw material, they just took the thing and developed it so that it works for everybody better. They take this and develop it out so that it works for everybody better. If you take the contributions that each one is to make, and you blend them together in the way they ought to be blended, what happens? The three areas of man's need are fully and completely met in a wonderfully marvelous way for the advancement of human civilization to the very greatest potential. The problem is, the old sin nature and this guy wants to sit on top all the time.
Yeah, well, it's funny that a white guy has decided that white folks get to sit on top. And it's funny that he can't see that in the body of Christ, we are all members one of another. No big I's, no little U's. It's an amazing thing to hear this. And this, you know, it's still the 21st century. We haven't gone back in time. We haven't gone into Dr. Peabody's Wayback Machine there with Bullwinkle and Rocky. How pitiful that this is being taught. But there's something worse. And what is worse is people either accept it or acquiesce to it and are too apparently cowardly to stand against it or to say anything about it. That is shameful. Small wonder, then, that we have pretty much old white guys running Grace Ministries, Grace Publishing Companies, and Grace Assemblies. Isn't that instructive? You don't need to get very far into it before you see that the philosophy being taught here in the Grace School of the Bible about the supremacy of the white guy actually is what the Grace Movement looks like. And that is shameful. And it is shameful that there are not people with the courage of Pauline convictions to stand up against it.